All right, Alexander, let's talk about Macron and this crazy stuff. I don't know another word to describe it. The crazy stuff that he's been saying over the last week, from putting troops in Ukraine, French troops and NATO troops, in order to engage the Russian military, to statements about no red lines, no limitations in support of Ukraine in order to fight Russia, and just comments which indicate that Macron, at least on the surface, indicate that Macron wants to escalate. I believe the other day he also told a group of political leaders in a meeting that he held, that if Russia advances towards Kiev or Odessa, then France will get involved in the conflict with Russia. I mean, he's with each statement that he's making, it seems like he's getting closer and closer to declaring some sort of war with Russia. I mean, he's getting very close to that line. I'm not saying he's reached it, but he is getting close to that line of saying we are, as France, we are at war with Russia. Now, discuss Macron's statement, but I think it's important if you can flush out whether Macron is being serious here. Does he really mean that France should engage with Russia, or is this some sort of other agenda that Macron has in mind, scaring the European citizens, trying to build an EU army, trying to get funding and budget for an EU army, or some globalist project that he has in mind, and he needs this type of rhetoric and escalation in order to accomplish these other goals that he's looking to implement. So what's going on here?
Well, the first thing to say is that, I mean, you said that this is crazy, and you don't need to apologize for using that word, because it is all over the French media. The French media, even those parts of the French media that are sympathetic to Macron or have been, you know, newspapers like Le Point, for example, are all going out saying this is absolutely mad. I mean, they are all asking themselves what has happened. I mean, why is he talking in this a lunatic way? And that meeting with party leaders that you talked about, it actually took place within the context of the French National Assembly, the French Parliament. He spoke to the leaders of the various parties in the Parliament, not the actual leaders of the parties, but of the factions within the Parliament. And he came up with all kinds of scary maps and said, you know, the Russians might advance here towards Kiev, or they might advance there towards Odessa, and this is absolutely unacceptable, and the Ukrainians are losing the war, and we can't let Ukraine lose the war, and we must put aside all our cowardice, and there must be no red lines. No red lines, of course, on our part. There must be no limits to what we should do, which, bear in mind, France is a nuclear power, so in theory that could extend all the way to using nuclear weapons. So there must be no limits, and no acknowledgement or acceptance at all of Russian red lines. And it seems that all the faction leaders, all the parliamentarians who were at that meeting, including some from Macron's own party, came away absolutely shocked and horrified by what he was saying. Some of them pleaded with him and said, for heaven's sake, Don't take us here. We don't want to go here. And that, incidentally, is the overwhelming sentiment of the French public as well. And apparently he paid no attention. He just carried on talking this bizarre, rhetoric, as I said, which absolutely spooked all the faction leaders, if I can call them that, and including many members of his own party. And his own party, already before this whole issue of you sending troops to Ukraine was brought up, they were already restive with Macron. The economic situation in France, once again, not good. The deficit becoming wider to the point of unsustainability. Macron's popularity collapsing in France, the support for his party collapsing in France, all the indications are that this party will face a wipeout in the European Parliament elections, which are coming. There's been some speculation that this crazy talk from Macron is intended to try somehow to strengthen the position of his party in that election, you know, saying, you know, that we're the party that stands for Europe, stands for Ukraine, we're prepared to take on Putin, and all of the others are pusillanimous and weak. But as I said, even his own parliamentarians aren't happy. The newspapers that support him aren't happy. My own view about this is that what's happening is that Macron has been, you know, this person who believes that he's the emperor, the Jupiter figure. He's seeing his presidency disintegrate, because it is. And he's retreating into delusions and grandiosity, as he often does. And in the process, he's isolating himself within the political system in France. What he's proposing is deeply unpopular, so I understand, with the French army. And of course, his relations with Olaf Scholz, apparently, in Germany, have all but collapsed. But none of that makes this any the less dangerous. What he's talking about is unbelievably dangerous things that he's wanting to do. And of course, if he does do them, if he does send French troops to Ukraine in the way that he says, and then it takes a whole level of danger going beyond that. And he's already apparently talking about sending French troops to Moldova, which, of course, is just across the border from Ukraine.
So basically, you're saying he's going mad.
Yes.
I mean, yes. He's losing his mind.
Well, more and more people in France are saying so. I mean, as a political strategy, this is so counterproductive that it's difficult to explain it, in my opinion, in any other way. He doesn't want to negotiate with Putin. You know, I think there's another factor, that he's very, very angry with the Russians. He's probably furious about all that's happened in West Africa. And, you know, France has been humiliated in Niger. It's been humiliated in Gabon. He takes that very personally. And, of course, there were those Russian missile strikes earlier, a few weeks ago. In Kharkiv, there was that big hotel that was attacked by the Russians. It seems a large number of French so-called mercenaries were killed there. It seems they were basically French soldiers carrying out special operations, sometimes behind Russian lines. And apparently he's very angry and upset and humiliated about all of that. And he's looking for revenge in his own bizarre way.
Yeah. Another problem with this is that I believe there are forces in Europe, not in the entirety of the EU, but there are forces in Europe, for example, Pavel of the Czech Republic or Ursula von der Leyen, who are almost, it seems like they're encouraging Macron to continue with this madness so that they can use it for their own aims, which is more weapons, building a defense budget and stuff like that. So it seems like there are some people who are seeing Macron go mad. They're pushing him into the front to continue to come out with these statements. And then they're jumping on these statements and saying, okay, well, you know, Macron is saying that that France is going to have to go into conflict with Russia. So what we need to do is we need to create a pan-European defense military initiative. This is the worrying part, is that we're not seeing so many voices coming out and telling Macron, stop.
No.
Don't listen to this guy. He's going crazy. enough's enough, shut up, Macron. We're not really seeing that. We're just seeing people kind of saying, okay, well, you know, Macron has a point. He has a point. I mean, the Czech Republic's Pavel, he said, yeah, Macron definitely has a point that there should be a discussion about conflict with Russia. And he's using it to go out and get this 800,000 ammo deal and stuff like that.
Which we're not going to talk about on this program, but which is another scheme that is going to fail. But anyway, you are absolutely right about this. And the key thing to understand is that two things are going on which are driving all of this. The first is Ukraine is losing the war. Now, all of these leaders, Pavel, Ursula, Macron, of course, himself, they went all in supporting Ukraine. They expected that Russia would collapse under the weight of the sanctions, that Russia would be defeated. They're now facing the horrified prospect that, on the contrary, Russia is going to win and they will lose. And that could ultimately call into question the entire viability of the whole EU project, bearing in mind the critically bad economic situation that exists right across Europe now. So there is that. And the second is, and I don't think there's any doubt about this, we see this now with the resignation of Victoria Nuland. There are increasing worries and fears about the long-term commitment, not to NATO, I mean, this is a red herring, but to the Ukraine project of the United States. And this is also spooking them, because, of course, Macron could talk about sending French soldiers to Ukraine, but I've actually read somewhere that the number of soldiers that France could realistically send to Ukraine would be fewer than the number of soldiers Ukraine used to defend Avdiivka. And they'd probably be less heavily equipped as well. So they'd perhaps be better trained. But this is simply an impossible thing. But the Europeans, all of them, are horrified about this because they know that without the United States, there really isn't anything they can do. The Republicans are being obstructive, as they would say. Donald Trump, the shadow of Donald Trump appears to be growing. They can read the opinion polls from the United States and they see the sentiment that is taking hold in the United States. And as we've discussed, the permanent state seems to be turning against this project, as suggested by this sudden resignation of the person they've all got to know, who is Victoria Nuland. So there is an atmosphere of growing panic and despair and fear. And this is feeding into all of this. And it's feeding into Macron, who, as I said, is seeking his own presidency, collapse into, you know, failure and disaster. I mean, he came in promising a transformation of France. Of course, that never happened, at least not in the way that he intended. And, you know, a building up of Europe, that didn't quite work out in the way that he intended either. So that's all failed. So he's in a bad way. All of the other Europeans are also in a bad way. And they're worried, they're frightened, they're panicking now that the Americans are going to leave them hanging out to dry. So all of these bad ideas, all this terrible talk, is circulating around Europe. Pavel in the Czech Republic, particularly isolated. He knows that in neighboring Slovakia, remember the Czech Republic and Slovakia, two countries that used to be one country, they speak essentially the same language. Probably he senses that Fico's views are more popular in the Czech Republic than his own. So he's getting very nervous as well. There's some questions about the exact mechanism whereby he was elected, because we've discussed the strange events that happened in the Czech Republic, you know, a year or so, 2 years ago. So, you know, he's got all of that nervousness hanging over him. And, of course, the others, Ursula and the others as well, also worried too. And so on the one hand, they're frightened, they're nervous, they're stressed. And at the same time, they say to themselves, how do we get out of this hole? Well, we do it the only way we know, more Europe, which is what Macron always talks about. European armies, European war bonds. We discussed that recently with Tom Longo. European, all of these things, because that is the only answer these people ever have. And if necessary, because we can't let Ukraine lose, send French troops into Ukraine, where they'll be smashed.
Yeah, they'll be smashed. Final question is any of this an attempt to try to lure the United States into actually doing the fighting on behalf of crazy guys like Macron? I mean, you know, is he trying to lure the United States to give the $61 billion? And then is he trying to lure the United States into actually them putting the boots on the ground by saying, okay, I'll put the French troops in Ukraine. They'll get smashed. But once the French troops get smashed, America, you have to come in and save us. So come on in. I mean, is that also at play here?
That's absolutely part of the play, because, of course, all the Europeans know perfectly well that without the United States, there is no chance. I mean, the talking about sending French troops into Ukraine without the Americans is absurd. So the gamble is you go into Ukraine with your troops and the Americans will come to your rescue. I think this is catastrophically misreading the mood in the United States. First of all, I think powerful sections of the permanent state do not want to be dragged into the Ukrainian quagmire. I mean, this is a quagmire. They want to focus on China. They don't want to be all the time dragged into this conflict in Ukraine. So that is one. The second is, I think, American public opinion. If the French want to go to Ukraine, they will say, well, that's the French. We don't want the United States to become involved. And I think that any attempt to try to get the United States to become involved in that kind of way is likely to backfire and create more divisions between the Americans and the Europeans. That's my own personal view. But in the sort of fevered mind of all these European leaders, as they sense that America, it's not drifting away, but is reconsidering its priorities, they're looking for some ways to make up for that. Send troops into Ukraine, talk about European militaries, act in a way that will mean that the Americans are forced to become involved in order to come to the Europeans' rescue. In other words, they're trying again to be the tail that wags the dog.
Stuff. All right. We will end it there. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on Odyssey, BitChute, Rockfin, Rumble, and Telegram, and Twitter, and Twitter X. And go to the Duran shop, 15% off all t-shirts. Take care.